And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sidney Wildside.
One of the things that fascinates me almost more than anything else, and certainly inspires much of what I do here on the Wild Side News, is the amazing truth about the capabilities of our animal friends. And none touch us more directly, in ways that we sense are profound, personal, and powerful, than the unique bond between humans and dogs. Today we continue to celebrate our canine friends as we talk with Sam High, who is talking to us from Helena, Montana. Sam is a trainer and tracker for the High Country Canine Search and Rescue Dogs team. Sam, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you very much.
Say, if you were to head out on a search and rescue mission today, what would you be looking at in terms of Helena?
As far as, well, terrain, it's mountainous here. We have mountains in the area, or in the state, I guess, up to 10,000 feet or so. We also have flatland in the state, so we can be looking at a variety of different terrains that we might be working in for a search.
Now, of course, that high altitude really affects the type of weather that you have to face in terms of your mission as you head out with your dogs, and we're going to cover that topic in some exciting ways today. What kind of weather conditions do you have to face once in a while?
With the altitudes in the mountains in this state, the weather can change drastically very quickly. So you could be out in a nice 50 or 60 degree day and a storm can move in rather quickly and your temperatures can drop 40 or 50 degrees an hour with rain, snow. So you have to be prepared for any kind of weather when you're out on a search because you never know when you're going to get back in. You could be out for several days or even overnight. And it really pays to be prepared for all different types of weather conditions.
Well, let's talk about the High Country Canine Search and Rescue Dogs. You're involved, you're a dog owner, mm-hmm. You're also a trainer, and one of the things I think the audience would like to know about would be the fact that a lot of people think of search and rescue dogs, and they kind of think about police dogs, but quite honestly, there's a huge difference between the dogs that are trained to work with police and the dogs that you train to help out in search and rescue.
Yes, that's true. A lot of the training is similar, it's just kind of the expected results might be different on the other end. And we look for people who are lost, hunters, hikers, bikers who are out in the mountains or just looking for the outdoor experience and they get turned around and get lost. And our dogs are trained to find them and come back and get us if we're on a wilderness type search and then take us back to that person, whereas a police dog would be more for containment when they find that person. They probably would not come back and get the officer. They would stay with the person they're looking for.
Now, you work strictly at the behest and by request of official search and rescue teams. Is that right?
That's right.
And so you get a call, and then now, one of the amazing things about your particular organization and something that we're certainly going to address today is the fact that you work entirely as a voluntary organization.
That's true.
You don't ask for any dough, do you?
No. We try to get donations, and anything that anybody's willing to send our way is much appreciated, but we don't charge for our services to go out on a search. We do request, if possible, that we get reimbursed for maybe our expenses, but we don't charge by the hour or anything like that. It's completely volunteer.
And all the gear and things you have to come up with yourself?
Yes, we purchase all of our own equipment. If we can come up with enough donations or we're trying to write some grants to get some funding, then we're trying to get the company to be able to buy a lot of our equipment for us. But right now, all the individual members have purchased their own equipment.
Well, actually, I made a little special effort here because I really think that, well, what you do literally saves lives. It really impacts families. It impacts your community. And it also stands as a tribute to what great community efforts people like yourselves can contribute to. And so, actually, I went around and talked to some folks out there who want to help you guys out a little bit. And so I'm going to actually introduce a friend of mine, Angela. Angela, you're with us, I think?
Yes, I am.
Now, Angela, who are you with?
I'm with Talus Navigation's Magellan GPS Consumer Products. And we have a special surprise for you, Sam, and would like to donate four Magellan GPS receivers, our Magellan Explorus 300 and Meridian Platinum. We hope that this, for those instances where people are out there and aren't using a GPS receiver to help them get back to where they left their car or where the trailhead is. We would love to supply you with that as a tool to help you guys find people and mark where you've already searched. And we know that this will hopefully be a huge contribution, considering that you guys have to pay for everything yourselves, and we really value search and rescue operations all around the country. So we hope this helps.
It will help a great deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Angela, tell us how people can also learn more about these. It's a very generous donation, and you're giving 4 units?
Yes.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much.
At www.magellangps.com, you can find out about all of our handheld GPS receivers, Magellan brand, and we also have the vehicle navigation systems. It's a huge advantage to be able to know your location, mark waypoints for where you started and how to get. It'll even give you breadcrumbs to help you get back. Apart from it being something that people use for fun, it's definitely a helpful technology in making sure that you're safe when you go out on trails or on mountains and climbing, biking, as you mentioned, hiking or hunting. So Magellan's definitely always willing to try to help some of the nonprofit organizations and volunteers like yourself.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angela, so much. That's Angela?
Yes.
With Talus Magellan. You see their products all over. Thank you so much. This is going to definitely help them out. Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet. Well, here we go. I'm working this board. This is getting tough on me here. Hold on just a second. Sam, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you have to go out and you have to deal with the problems of people who are injured. In some cases, you actually track down folks who have passed away. How do you train people? How do you train dogs to search out these different sort of missions?
Well, it depends on kind of the information that we get at the beginning of a search, but all the different things that we want the dogs to do are just training with different commands, and there's always a reward. Most of the dogs who have the drive that's necessary like their toy. They have a favorite toy, and so we utilize that favorite toy as a reward mechanism for when they do the things that we want them to do correctly. And there's different types of disciplines. We've trained them in tracking, which is on lead. So if we have a known point where a person might have left from and we have some scent articles from that person, we can start them at that area and try to get a direction to travel. And we give them one command for that. If we're not sure or we want to send dogs out ahead of that tracking dog, which are called area dogs or wilderness dogs, then we give them a different command for that, and they're taught to actually go out offline, search areas, help us grid an area. And if they find someone on an air scent, then they will come back and get the handler, give them an alert, and then take them back to the person that they found.
Now, you folks sometimes head out for kind of extended periods of time, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And so you put yourselves at risk as well as the dogs. That's an incredible service. It's just amazing. You know, actually, I have another person online here who has heard about your mission and would like to talk with you. And this is Frank. Frank, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Frank, why don't you tell about yourself and your company and what you'd like to do?
I'm the marketing director for Adventure Medical Kits and one of the co-founders. And what we'd like to do is offer a little support to your organization. And a lot of the people you're going out there to rescue are some of our core users of Adventure Medical Kits, or perhaps should be. Maybe they should have brought one along with them. But we'd like to offer you $500 worth of Adventure Medical Kits products. Your choice, because I know you have a lot of different needs. We have medical kits. We have survival items like emergency bivy sacks, reflective blankets, survival tools, and things like that. So I'd just like to offer our support.
Okay.
Appreciate what you guys do.
Frank, I'll help you follow up on that. And also, Frank, how can people find out more about Adventure Medical Kits, which are the leader in terms of backpacking gear and medical portable medical gear?
Yeah, you can find out about us at AdventureMedicalKits.com. And we've been supplying the outdoor industry and outdoor users for over 15 years with medical kits. And many of the top guides in the nation. Yosemite Mountain guides, Exit Mountain guides use our products for their trips and expeditions.
Well, Frank, with Adventure Medical Kits, thank you. That's a very generous. This is going to help immensely.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Frank. Well, that was Frank with Adventure Medical Kits. You see how well this works, the community outreach and the support that we can gain, and it certainly is inspiring that those people involved in the outdoor industries are prepared to help folks like you out. Well, let's continue our discussion. Now, how did you get involved in this, Sam?
Well, we've always had pets, pretty much, and when we lost our last dog, we decided that the next one we had, we wanted to try to do something with, to get have a working dog and not just a pet. My husband is formerly involved in law enforcement and has spent a lot of time out on various deals with law enforcement, and so he retired from that, and we decided that we didn't want to just completely retire from everything. We wanted something to do, and since we were going to get another dog, we thought that that might be a good thing to do. So we purchased the dog, and we managed to find the person who trains all of us, Chris Goodhue, who's one of the founders of High Country Canine, and she doesn't live that far from us, and we managed to catch up with her and start training, and it was just one of those bonds that worked out really well, worked really well as a team. There were already a couple of other people that were involved in some of the dog training that we met, and we just really made a great team. We all work really well together, so we have the extra benefit of not just working the dogs, but finding some really great friends, too. And we ended up washing our first dog out. He just didn't have the drive, and so we now have two more that are both certified. My husband has one as well, and that's kind of how we got started.
Now, if a person were interested in joining this search and rescue canine teams, I understand that you offer some excellent training as well. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit? How to find a dog and how to choose a dog, and we don't have a whole lot of time left, but let's try to give an introduction to that.
Okay, well, probably the best thing to do would be to check our website, and it gives all of the different disciplines that you can train the dog in. It also gives we do provide seminars that we charge for. We try to keep the charges down as small as we can so that people can afford to come. We're not really in it to make a ton of money just to pay our expenses and try to gain something, but we also want to keep the cost down so that people can afford it. But you can check that. We have seminars for trailing, wilderness, HRD, water, and our schedule's out on the internet, on our website. As far as picking a dog, we test them when they're 4 weeks old and at 7 weeks old, and they're looking for high-drive dogs that have a lot of ambition and enthusiasm and assertiveness, to some point being stubborn. We kind of like the more stubborn dogs because they're a little harder and a little bit more driven. And there's certain tests that you can do, too. So if anybody's really looking for that, they can get a hold of one of us. Chris Goodhue has tested quite a few dogs, as has Janet Wiltz, and they're both founders of High Country Canine, and they are also listed on our website. So that send an email or give us a call, and we'd be happy to help them out.
Well, now, where do you want them to send an email? Let's have your web address, and if it's
okay,
a phone number.
highcountry.com/K9.us.
Okay, you're prepared now to go on out and change the world, knowing what you need to know to survive. That's what we all need to know as our world turns its course into unmapped terrain. I'll bring you the latest and best news and stories about nature and the environment each Tuesday and anytime on the archives. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again when your voice of the earth rings out around the world here on the Wild Side News.